This is Chris Velasco. I'm the composer for Darksiders 3, and you are listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 64, where composer Chris Velasco talks about his original score for the video game Darksiders 3. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Chris Velasco is an American composer who's worked on video game franchises including Fortnite, Resident Evil, Overwatch, Assassin's Creed, Warhammer, Mass Effect, and God of War. He's also worked on television series such as Hulu's Dimension 404 and Freakish. He recently returned to the Darksiders franchise to compose the original score for the third game in the popular series. In Darksiders 3, players return to the apocalyptic planet Earth. It's a hack-and-slash action-adventure where players take on the role of Fury, the fiercest of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, in her quest to hunt down and dispose of the seven deadly sins. The expansive Darksiders 3 game world is presented as an open-ended, living, free-form planet Earth, dilapidated by war and decay and overrun by nature. Fury will traverse back and forth between environments, battling otherworldly creatures and unlocking puzzles while advancing the Darksiders story. In this episode, composer Chris Velasco talks about returning to the franchise after co-composing the score for the first Darksiders game. He shares how the main theme organically developed through the selection of key lead instruments, as well as with the lead vocalist from the band Nyaz to represent the protagonist, Fury. Velasco also shares how and why he chose the waltz to form the backbone for a key boss fight cue, the delicate conversation he had hiring a vocalist to do heavy breathing for the score without revealing its context, and, for another boss fight, how after missing the window to record with a choir, he was still able to instrumentally convey the religious aspects of the confrontation.
This is the second Darksiders game that I've had the pleasure to work on. The first one, I was called in kind of last minute to actually help replace the score to the first game. And we had just very little time to get that done. The score was, you know, it was all orchestral, and we recorded some choir up at Skywalker. And then, you know, there was the whole thing with THQ, and they went out of business, and the original developer doesn't exist anymore. But a lot of those guys went on to form what became Gunfire Games. So I had kept in touch with them over the years, and Darksiders 3 came up, and, you know, I was not on the second project. But they wanted to see if I'd be interested in doing Darksiders 3. You know, it was like kind of coming home and seeing family and friends that you hadn't seen for a number of years. So it was a lot of fun to come back and work with those guys again. So Fury's theme, it not only represents the third horseman of the apocalypse, but it's kind of the main theme for the overall Darksiders game. Each one of these games, you know, the protagonist has had their own thematic material, so I, of course, wanted one for Fury. And there, I thought it would be fitting to have a female vocalist be the literal voice of Fury. And I've been a long-time admirer of the band Nyaz, and the singer for that, her name is Azam Ali, and I've had the pleasure to become friends with hers over the last few years. So I called her up and asked if, I said, I've got this game, I can't tell you what it is just yet, but it has a female protagonist who's a total badass, and would you be interested in singing for her? So I spent many days over at her house recording her, and so the first time you can hear her is in this main theme, where she's singing the melody for Fury. And there's, you may also hear, there's been kind of an ethnic-y sounding stringed instrument that's, I unfortunately can't even remember what it's called because we used so many of them, and it was something that just sounded cool when played, and I said, yes, that's the one, let's just play that. But her husband, Loga, he's a multi-instrumentalist, also plays in neons, and so I go to their house, do a little recording of Azam, and then Loga and I would sit in the studio and just pick up a variety of the instruments he's got laying around, and until we found the one with the correct sound, and then he would just kind of play something that I had written out or kind of jam over whatever it is that we were doing. This track is called Lust, and in Darksiders 3, you had 7 main kind of boss fights, and each one was centered around one of the 7 deadly sins. So, you know, some of them are more obvious than others, like Lust, for example. And one thing that me and the guys at Gunfire talked about doing was a waltz. But I didn't want it to be a classical Strauss waltz or anything that sounded too romantic and dancey, and that's not going to fit, you know, an epic battle between you and one of the 7 deadly sins. So I really, all I took from it being a waltz is the 3/4 time signature, and then I kind of thought, well, what if it was a kind of a modern orchestral film score type triple time piece combined with percussion and electronics that are somewhat reminiscent of kind of old Nine Inch Nails, something very industrial meets orchestra, and everybody thought that was a good idea, and I knew that. Again, I wanted another vocal for this one, but I was really wanting to keep Azam's voice for Fury. So I needed somebody new to be the voice of Lust. And I had met this woman named Laura Intravia at another session that I had attended maybe a year prior to that. And she's one of these singers. There's actually quite a lot of them, but you see, you know, this small, thin person, and then you hear the vocals that come out of them, and it's like, oh my God, how can you sing like that? Like, I would have never expected that voice out of you, but she just has this amazing operatic voice, and so I wrote out the melody for Lust, which is kind of very chromatic, and I always feel that, I don't know, that it felt lustful to me, I suppose. And I sent it to her, and she lives on the East Coast, and she recorded herself and sent me the files, and yeah, everything worked great. It's funny, she didn't know, again, what game this was for, and she didn't know it was for this character named Lust. I just told her what I needed, and I said, oh, I also need some heavy breathing from you. But like, please, like, if you can, in tempo to the track. I sent her my mock-up. I said, yeah, we can just do some heavy breathing kind of rhythmically in here. And she totally went for it. And yeah, I was glad that the studio's kind of isolated, because I like to work very loud, and I was just wondering, like, oh my god, what are the neighbors think is going on over here? So this next track is Pride, another one of our seven deadly sins. And this was maybe my favorite track to write, actually. It's one that I would have loved to have recorded choir for, except the schedules on these things can get so kind of crazy, and I had to record choir prior to even writing this piece. And I only had one day with them, so I couldn't go back and re-record anymore. So then when I got to Pride and I found out, oh, she's represented by this angel, and battle takes place, what looks like it could be in a church. And I thought, well, missed opportunity. Shoot, I really should have written something for this before the choir session. But I thought, well, what else could be have these kind of religious overtones? And I thought, oh, like a big pipe organ, a big church organ that you might find, you know, in an old European church. I started writing with, with the pipe organ in mind, and trying to weave it in between the orchestra. And I also was thinking, well, pipe organ in a church setting, like, you know, it doesn't get any more iconic than Bach. And, you know, I did study music formally at UCLA, and although I hadn't had to dust off my my fugue writing chops in many years, but I thought, oh, now's the perfect opportunity to try to do, not make the whole piece sound Baroque, but I thought I could inject a little bit of that flavor into it. And I think one big thing that separates things like Baroque music from contemporary scores is the fact that they were changing chords like so quickly. I mean, the whole thing is about modulating and you know, one chord leading to the next and getting fancy with that kind of stuff. Today's film scores, you know, you just ride that D pedal for 15 minutes, and you know, and that's fine. That sounds great. Also, it's what we're used to. But when I started trying to do the organ sections for this and write it in more of a Baroque style, I have to say it's exhausting. The final track we're going to check out is called Maker's Hideout, and it represents a place of calm and beauty in the game, and it's kind of your one sort of area of respite from the chaos and the seven deadly sins and everything trying to kill you. It was a nice break and change of style to do something that just kind of sounds more lovely than aggressive. The style, I think, is also very different from the rest of the game. Most of the other music it's big orchestra and electronics and percussion and some weird sounds thrown in. And this one, I just really wanted to kind of sound peaceful and beautiful. I recorded God, I'm so embarrassed to say I can't remember the guy that played the woodwinds on this for me. I just found him online, and he plays tons and tons of different woodwinds. And I sent him the track with my samples and I said, what do you have that you think would sound great over this? And so he sent me a few samples, a few different kinds of flutes, and we picked one that the range was okay to use for this. But on top of that, then I've got this very good friend named Nicole Garcia. She's a violinist. She plays violin on just about every one of my scores. I always try to write something, even if it's just one track, for her to play violin on. And when I'm recording in LA, she leads the session. She's my first violinist. So that is her playing on there as well. Darksiders 3, I have to say, has been one of my favorite projects to work on in recent history. It's not always easy coming back to a franchise, but I'm truly proud of the score, and it's kind of a good blend of Darksiders 1 and 2, and it feels to me like it's the natural progression of where the franchise is going. It's a long game, and there's over 2 hours of music in there. We are releasing an official soundtrack fairly soon. I'm not exactly sure when, but one came with the collector's edition of the game. But right now, that's the only way it exists. So I'm currently putting together kind of an extended soundtrack that everybody can find on their favorite platform.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Chris Velasco and his original score for the video game Darksiders 3. After the interview, Chris Velasco was able to recall the woodwind instrumentalist he referred to. His name is Sandro Friedrich, and he's from Switzerland. The original score was released with the collector's edition of the game, and a full soundtrack release is imminent. You can find out more and hear more music by Chris Velasco at his official site, chrisvelasco.com, or follow him on Twitter at Monarch Audio. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe by Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Radio Public. Wherever you do listen, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and review, and if you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, we'd love for you to tell them about the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook at The Annotator, or send us your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.